Today I want to talk about suffering. Especially now, there's a lot of suffering going on, and I don't just mean physical suffering from the people who are sick, but I also mean emotional suffering from all of us who are whipsawed by what is going back and forth in our world with shutdown, open up, shutdown. There's a lot of emotional suffering. There is literally two different stories coming both at the national and at the local levels in many cases from people as to what's the right thing to do and what we should do. And also we are suffering emotionally because many of us are suffering financially. I want to ask you a question. Do you know the story of Siddhartha Gautama? We're going to talk about him today. Siddhartha Gautama was a Hindu, He was an Indian prince. He was a prince in India who was raised in the lap of absolute luxury. Now, he had never seen any form of suffering in his life. In fact, his father made sure that he never witnessed it. His father, I guess you could say, was the original helicopter parent. He didn't want Siddhartha to know about anything negative that was going on into the world. So he literally completely shielded him from it, including preventing Siddhartha from going outside the palace gates. Well, one day, Siddhartha had had enough. Because when he would go out, his father would have guards go forward, and any people who were old, any people who were sick, any people who were poor, any people who were impoverished, any people who were dirty were removed from the streets. This is a true story, ostensibly. And so when Siddhartha did go out of the palace gates, what he saw was not in any way, shape, or form the real world. And finally, as I say, he had had enough, and he literally went outside, and he saw an old, old person for the very first time. And he saw a beggar begging for money, and he saw a crippled person, and he saw a blind person, and he saw people suffering as people do, and his heart cracked. Now, when this actually happened, according to the story, he was a young man. Siddhartha was married, he had a child, he had a son. And Siddhartha's mind and heart cracked open to the extent that he just felt that he could no longer live within this fantasy life that was created by his father for his protection. So Siddhartha left the palace and he went out into the world and he lived the life of an ascetic, someone who begs on the street, someone who has no home, someone who seeks spiritual enlightenment above all else. And later he ultimately, through variety of fasting and starvation, they would say that some days Siddhartha would get along on one grain of rice a day. That's what he would allow himself to eat. And the statues today that we consider to be what we call Siddhartha, which I'll tell you more about in a moment, could not be further from the truth of what the real man actually looked like. In fact, if you Google starving Siddhartha, you will find that the statue of him completely emaciated, looking like someone who has been in Auschwitz, is far more common in the culture. Ultimately, through prayer, etc., etc., he came to believe that life was suffering. Instead of trying to overcome suffering, which is what he sought to do through his life of asceticism, he sought to accept that life is suffering. And in the process, he achieved what is called enlightenment. Now, the word enlightenment simply means awakened. In fact, it is said that later in his life, as he would walk down the street, and people would look at Siddhartha's tranquil smile. They would say, "Are you rich? Do you have many sons? Are you blessed? Do you have good health?" And Siddhartha said, "I have none of those. What I have is an awakened life. I am awake. I am awake." And if you haven't pieced it together, and I'm sure most of you have, Siddhartha is the Buddha. The Buddha. Now, when we think of the Buddha, we think of this fat, smiling guy. That is the Chinese spiritual saint. His name is Hotai. And he being so fat because of all of the so many times when there was just absolute poverty and famine in China, the greatest symbol of prosperity and spiritual prosperity is someone smiling and so fat they can barely move. He looks like Jabba the Hutt. Many of us look at that and call him the Buddha. That is a Buddha, which means an enlightened one, and he's a symbol. The Buddha, Siddhartha, was a real historic figure. And by the way, Buddhism, it is listed as a religion. It never originally was. They use terms like saints, etc., etc. However, the Buddha was a human being, never ascribed himself to be divine. And his original followers and most of his followers did not ever pray to him. They wanted to be like him. And that was simply awake. And that was accepting that life is suffering. The Buddha said that I am of the nature. That was the way he would always frame things. He would say, I am of the nature to grow old. I am of the nature to get sick. I am of the nature to die. I am of the nature to suffer. Every day, something transpires that it causes us to, in some way, suffer. When I read about people who are on the exact polar opposite of the political spectrum than I, and I want you to just take this in, because ask yourself, I suffer inside. There's a suffering that goes on. How dare they? It's as if they are doing this to me. And you probably do it too. We suffer emotionally. We suffer when we see people acting or not acting to the coronavirus as we are acting or not acting. We suffer when we think of people who do or do not respect people of color. We suffer when we think of the way people do or do not treat people who are different than us. We are of the nature to suffer. Why? You know, this just occurred to me, but I'm going to go with it. If you put me on a desert island, I'd suffer. And Tom Hanks proved this out. He literally had an other that he created in the form of a volleyball named Wilson in the movie. Think about that. We are of the nature to argue in our own heads. We are of the nature to suffer in our own heads. I've heard people say in a very pithy way, pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. I call it pithy because when Marty left, I was in enormous pain and I suffered for a very long time. It just kept coming back to me. Ultimately, though, I realized that how much and to the extent that I let the pain come was indeed up to me. And that's what I want to tie things together with this morning. And that's with this idea of ruminating. And I want to get very scientific with you here. There is a thing known as neuroplasticity. And what that means is that neurons that fire together wire together. Let me say that again. Neurons that fire together, wire together. I spent most of my life in suffering, not celebration, suffering. Now, why did I do that? I've gone back and looked at all of this. And my mother was a nurse. My mother basically ignored you if something was really going well. In fact, I've told you before that when I was coming home from the Oprah Winfrey show in the limousine, I called my mom and told her, hey, it just went great. And she goes, oh, honey, with that painful quaver in her voice, I'm so happy for you. Enjoy it while it lasts. Suffer. It's going to end. So suffer. Focus on the fact of it ending, not the fact that it just happened and not the fact that it went great. Focus on the fact that it's going to end. If we had good things to say, my mom would basically kind of ignore us if we had bad things to say about our lives. And so as a result, I always had bad things to call my mother about on Sunday nights. Sunday nights was never about a celebration of all the sales that I had made. It was a lamentation of all the sales that I had lost. So as a result, my life has become, my brain has wired into this suffering mode. And so I have actively worked to rewire my brain through gratitude. Rumination. Look it up. It means to run things over and over in your head. And it actually comes back for, spoiler alert, I'm about to disgust you. Cows have four stomachs. Cows chew their cud. What they do is they literally bring it up from one stomach, chew it some more, and swallow it back to another stomach. Yeah, that's probably the best way I can put it. But that's where the term ruminate comes from. It means literally to vomit up your own stuff, chew it up some more, swallow it again, and vomit it up again. And that's why we suffer. When we run through our mind, how dare they have done this to me? How dare this have happened? That is placing us as a victim, and you cannot be a victim and a victor. So you need to forgive. Remember, forgiveness does not mean picking up the phone, calling someone and saying, I forgive you, or anything like that. The definition of the word forgive means to release your own resentment. Stop ruminating. Pain is optional. Suffering is, I'm saying that backwards. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. According to the Buddha, suffering is optional. You are of the nature to have challenges. You are of the nature to be betrayed. You are of the nature to be hurt. You are of the nature. And when you accept that, that is not making yourself a victim. It's allowing yourself to understand the field upon which you stand, so that you can know how to move forward. Just consider that. You are of the nature for all of these things, and yet none of these things define you. You are a victor to the extent that you choose to be, and that you decide to be, and that you make yourself by running better thoughts through your head. I'm going to close with, yesterday, I did a virtual speech. I'm getting hired to do a lot of virtual speeches right now, which is awesome that organizations are still trying to stay together and keep their members active and engaged and informed and inspired. And I got to do a speech yesterday for several hundred school principals, and I reminded them of the ego, that dark side of us that wants to suffer and that suffers. And that ego is always asking three questions. What's wrong? Who can I blame? And what can I get? And the three questions we need to ask instead are the polar opposite. What's going right? What's going right? Focus on that. In other words, just literally look around the room and say, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. Number two, who can I thank? Who can I thank? And literally begin to thank people for the littlest, silliest things. Mr. Rogers constantly said, thank you. When someone would say something to him, he would say, thank you for saying that to me before responding. Who can I thank? And finally, what can I give? When we take our focus off of ourselves and put it on other people, we no longer suffer. When I wake up in the morning, if I haven't had enough sleep and my ego's in charge, the moment that I begin to focus on those of you who are here with me and knowing that I get to connect with you, I no longer suffer. The same is true for you as well. Jerome says, a couple of weeks ago, I performed at a beautiful outdoors winery. Wow, that's awesome, Jerome. Do you have a website so that people can follow you? I'm sure they would love to see you. Jerome is an incredible singer. Cynthia Barcher says, with your work schedule, will you still be able to join in live or catch up later in the day? Are you asking? Oh, she's replying to Tammy. Good question. Good morning and happy Friday. I see Michelle Doherty joined us. Zen Chris, gratitude rewire. Thank you, Will. I'm trying to say, who can I help? Love it, love it, love it. Thank you, Heather. Remember that because of, and you all are making your comments right now, because of this concept of neuroplasticity, and that was something I left out, you literally can rewire your brain. You can. It takes time. It is not easy. It can be done. For example, if you have been, and this goes back to what we talked about yesterday with phobias. If you've been bitten by a dog and now you are chronically afraid of dogs, it is number one, understandable. And number two, your brain has wired that way. It's wired that way to protect you, and you can rewire it, but you have to actively, consciously do it. And I'm not going to get into it right now because that's what we talked about yesterday as to how to do it. All right, listen, you know what? I need to go. You know why? I want to go meditate. Isn't this cool? Don't worry, we don't stare at this the whole time, but it's just a way of relaxing ourselves. And especially when you take me out of it, just take a second, look at this, and notice how your breathing changes. So, if you want to learn how to go deep, release your stress, feel happier and healthier, join us at complaintfreemeditation.com. Kathy Fant, another Hammondite, says Tammy Boatwright. Linda Farrell says, see you in a few minutes. She's part of our meditation group. That's so cool. Awesome, everybody. Listen, remember, you are blessed. You are a blessing. Make it a great weekend. Stay safe. Err on the side of caution, okay? That's all I'll say. I want to see you here Monday. Monday! Oh, I'm hoping I can announce something big. I've got a meeting today. If we can pull together several last-minute things, I'm hoping to make a big announcement. I literally have two jump starts written for Monday. We shall see. All right, everybody, make it a great weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.